Everybody needs to know the news, the things going on in the world all around them. Even when we're out of town and we're in Indianapolis, we're still going to bring you the latest and greatest happenings in the world of rock and roll. This is the Decibel Geek Podcast, and you're listening to Geek Wire. Of course, you got me, Aaron Camaro, joined as always by my awesome friend and kick-ass co-host, the man who knows it all. Except for probably this week, we're going to be winging it a little bit. Chris Sinzak, how's it going, man?
Half in the bag and hungover and have no idea what we're going to talk about, but we'll just pull Blabbermouth up and go over some stories.
Okay, well, since we're here in Indianapolis, we just got back from walking literally half a block to where Ugly Kid Joe is playing, and we're hanging out, we're watching the sound check, and who wanders up? Ugly Kid Joe fan number one, the greatest in the world. I bequeathed the title to him a long time ago.
It's classy.
Everybody knows him, loves him. What's the, Metal Mike is here. What's the new name of the photography? I almost said him.
Voltage Junkie.
Voltage Junkie is Metal Mike's new photography.
Yeah, the placeholder, man.
Yeah?
Yeah. That's how that other one was.
And formerly the co-host of Off Your Meds podcast.
Yeah, if you guys remember it all.
Off our meds.
Get straight.
Yeah, that's right.
it was off your meds.
But for sure.
Yeah. Offline, sure.
And we've also got another guest with us. You know, all the time during the regular episodes, we read the Geeks of the Week every single week, and, you know, we always end it the same way. And as always, the Mooger Fooger in the house with us today.
In the flesh.
In the flesh, in the house. He's all up in it. He's the Mooger Fooger. We got the ladies hanging out. They'll be periodically rolling their eyes and wondering what the hell we're even talking about, or why we're talking about it.
As per usual.
But, yeah. So, we're just going to go over some news stories. I actually brought the laptop with me, so I got the birthdays, death days.
Oh, you do.
And, yeah, it's all pretty incomplete. But, you know, in the spirit of making sure you guys are up on things, you know, we can't leave you hanging. We got to do something for you. So we figured let's pull out the Zoom and just shoot the shit with our friends about the latest happenings in rock. So, Chris, what do you got for us?
Well, let's start off with some Kiss news. That's the easy way to start.
Easy.
According to Plymouth Live, Kiss has canceled its June 3rd concert at the Home Park Stadium in Plymouth, England, due to quote-unquote logistical reasons. The promoter added there were travel and equipment complications. Do we think this is real, or do we think this is code for tickets didn't sell worth a damn, so we canceled it?
I don't know. I guess you'd have to see what the tickets were selling, you know, how that was going. But, I mean, it is in England. Everything's a logistical problem there. It's not like they got a Kiss stage just waiting for them. And nowadays, the stage is the star of the show. You know, you could have the stage show without the band, and everybody would still cheer. You see them explosions. They were great.
Well, just hit play on the tape, and you can hear both
yeah,
things.
Yeah, there you go. Watch the explosions, look at the lasers, and enjoy it. But if the main member of the band can't make the trip to England, what are the rest of them poor guys going to do?
Well, and I saw that the you know, they're playing Nashville in October. It's one of the last shows before the Madison Square Garden shows, and sales have been pretty bad on that too. Which that would probably be a first if it didn't draw well here, because even in their lean years, they always drew well in Nashville.
But it's just like I said, the last time Kiss was in Nashville, you and I went to that.
Yeah,
and they said, you know, the posters were everywhere. End of the road, last chance. Everyone's saying on the radio, they're saying when they're giving away tickets, it's your last chance, Nashville. You want to win tickets to see Kiss, you better call our number, whatever, you know. So everybody went to that show, and there was a lot of people at that show. You know,
it was packed.
It was so remarkable being downtown Nashville and seeing all the people running around in their Kiss t-shirts. It's like, wow, this must be what heaven's like, you know. And all those people went in thinking that that was going to be their last chance to see Kiss. So look at the percentage. Out of all the people that went to that, how many of them are going, those sons of bitches, you know? I'm not going back to that again. They got my money last time they were here when they told us that was our last chance. Now they're coming back. Fraction of that is going to still go no matter what.
Well, I thought it was the last time in 2000 when they played Starwood.
Yeah, right.
So,
what do you guys think?
I think they lost a laptop. That's probably why they didn't play England. No, they're oversaturating everything, and I expect the sales to be weak. pretty much everywhere on the Lost American run except the Madison Square
Garden. Well, I saw there's plenty of tickets still available for Madison Square Garden. They're secondary sellers, but they're still available.
Probably expensive as hell, too.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. Mike?
He don't care.
I don't care, man.
Is that, like, stunning content?
Keeps going and going and going, you know?
Yeah. When's the last time you saw them live?
19?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was 20... I guess it was, maybe it was 2019. Well, no, it was the Hottest Show on Earth tour. Where they were doing the whole Alive album. Oh. 2009 or 10. It was when they were supporting Sonic Boom. That was the last show I saw where I still got a little bit of a buzz from it.
Yeah.
But that show we saw in 2019 in Nashville, it just felt so sterile and scripted, and there was just no energy to it.
Right.
The production was great.
Stage show was amazing.
So I love the effects.
It was cool.
But the band just looked like they were bored out of their mind on stage.
Yeah. Going through the motions.
Yeah.
Last time I seen them before all that was the double tour with them and Aerosmith.
2003.
I took my kid when he was really little. And it seemed like, you know, they were, I mean, even though they were trying to pass off Tommy Thayer as Ace Frehley at that time, because they never told nobody. A lot of people at that show were like, Ace, you know, and I'm just shaking my head, you know, I want to tell them, you know, that's not Ace Frehley. Mm-hmm. And so they had that going on, but I think they had a little more fire to them at that point because they were on tour with Aerosmith, so kind of always a competition between those bands.
Well, yeah, because Paul and Steven Tyler hate each other.
Yeah.
And have for decades.
Yeah, it goes back a long ways.
Yeah, so they were pushing each other. Although I heard Aerosmith wasn't very good at that on that show.
I don't know. I, like most people, left after Kiss. They were playing the Honkin' on the Bobo songs, you know?
Well, not just that.
Mostly.
Yeah. I skipped that tour, and I skipped the Rock the Nation tour. I was still angry at them for going back on their word with the Farewell tour. I wish I'd gone to Rock the Nation, though, because the set list looked really cool on that one. I should have gone to that show.
That's the other thing about, you know, doubling up the shows like that, playing Nashville, saying it's the end, coming back one more time, it's really the end this time. They're playing the same exact songs as they did at that show. You know, they don't never change it up. So, you know, why would you go? I wouldn't want to go. Even if someone had free tickets, I don't know if I'd go. Like, it's the same exact thing. Stage is the same. Players are the same. The tapes are the same. The song list is the same. Everything's the same. Why?
Although I saw online that, I don't remember what song it was, but there was one of the songs, one of the many that's lip-synced. Like, Paul went in and redid his lip-synced parts to make them sound different.
To make them sound a little worse? Well, a little more believable?
just to make it where it's not the same thing every night. I think the YouTube people have gotten to him, because he's like, oh, they're calling me out.
Wow.
Because I sound the same every night.
And people get mad at Motley Crue because they're like, damn it, I guess we'll actually have to play our instruments. Paul Stanley's like, damn it, now I got to go make new tapes.
What I don't get is, why not use some soundboard tapes of isolated vocals from a tour years ago where he sounded amazing, and then you can tune back up again and play in standard key? They're playing in like drop F right now on some of these songs.
If they'd have done that from the very beginning, I mean, you can't all of a sudden start doing it. Paul Stanley have to go on, you know, Eddie Trunk or whatever. Well, not Eddie Trunk or... Some show will be like, yep, they finally fixed my vocal cords. I'm going to sound amazing.
Just be honest. Say, I can't sing anymore. I'm going to lip sync, so I might as well just make myself sound great. And
yeah.
I'll use tracks from 96 or whatever.
Yeah.
Because we all know that he's doing it. It's not
right?
a secret
yeah,
anymore.
Yeah, true.
Anyway, some Van Halen news. Nothing amazing, but Wolfgang Van Halen has weighed in again on the proposed All-Star Van Halen tribute that still hasn't happened. And somebody brought up, you know, that he did his tribute to his dad at the Foo Fighters, you know, thing for Taylor. And they said, do they think an Eddie Van Halen tribute concert will ever become a reality? And he says, no. I think with the Foo Fighters, they had a lot less drama in their camp. And unfortunately, with Van Halen, there's many pieces that don't operate as they should, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But that's neither here nor there. It's just how reality is, unfortunately, sometimes. So basically, David Lee Roth's difficult to work with, and that's why this has not happened yet.
Well, I mean, you talk about all the different parts, you know. Dave's hard to work with. You know, Alex
has been out of the band for years, and Sammy Hagar is an idiot. So, I mean, it's hard to pull all those different things together to make something work.
Too many different egos.
He's stupid.
Booger Fooger, you out.
I'm still reeling from the Sammy Hagar's.
I know, right? I'm there with you.
But, I think it's a moot point now to have a tribute to Eddie Van. It's past.
Yeah.
It's past. Now, what they should do is something like they did for Taylor Hawkins.
Yeah.
Just an all-star tribute. You don't necessarily need to have the whole band there. I know Michael Anthony would show up. I think Sammy Hagar and Dave would still show up and just do separate things. They wouldn't be on stage together. But at this point, somebody's just going to have to do it privately on their own. No one should hold the breath.
No, the time to do it would have been when it was still pretty fresh, or maybe you do it on an anniversary.
Well, I think even Wolfie doing the thing at the Foo Fighters concert, playing his dad's music, I think that's fitting enough.
Yeah.
But to that point, look how quick Foo Fighters had something put together for Taylor.
Yeah.
Right.
It wasn't a year. You know, it was months. And it was two huge shows.
But they're already a moving machine. You know, Van Halen is like picking something up from the grave and trying to electrocute it back to life.
Yeah,
Foo Fighters are already rocking.
Well, per the whole Van Halen history, did you expect anything to happen quickly because of the Van Halen camp?
No.
He was too busy making all his videos.
Who?
Dave.
Yeah, well, that's another story. I don't know. They just, honestly, there's probably no band that's worse to their fan base than Van Halen for over the years.
Yeah.
Leave them hanging, give them no updates. They were terrible at interaction with their fans. They always have been.
Release Van Halen 3.
Yeah. I'm just glad we got a different kind of truth, because that was that was an awesome record.
Yeah, that was a good way to go out. A lot of bands don't get to go out on that good of an album.
Kurt Cobain's Nevermind Era Smash Guitar has sold for $595,000.
We were just driving down the road, and the Mover Fooger's in the back seat. He goes, "Holy shit!" And we go, "What?" And he told us that story.
Wow.
Broken. Smash guitar. Yeah.
For over $500,000. That's crazy.
It's pretty cool, though. It's good to know that people put value on that kind of stuff.
You think Jim Irsay bought it?
I think he's already got one that's not broken.
He owns the guitar from the Smells Like Teen Spirit video.
Yeah. Yeah.
He has the greatest collection in the world.
Yeah, we should have invited him over here. Let's bring some of your toys with you.
Yeah, I'm sure he would. He would have taken us up in a flash.
Maybe we'll see him at the Ugly Kid Joe show later. Bring him back here afterwards.
Meet us at Ugly Kid Joe, Jim Irsay. And then Josh Jimmy catches wind and is like, "I'm not friends with you guys anymore."
Yeah.
Jason Newsted performed with his Newsted project for the first time in nearly a decade last night in Fort Lauderdale.
Nice. We were talking about that on the last GeekWire.
Is looking at the set list. Heart of Stone, Black Sheep, As the Crow Flies, Creeping Death, Soldier Head, that was a single off the last Newsted record, Whiplash, My Friend of Misery, Jezebel, Stranglehold, Trance, Life's a Dream, Iron Fish, Heroic Dose, I Just Want to Have Something. Is that the Ramones song, I Just Want to Have Something to Do?
I'm just going
to
take that audio and isolate it, make it sound like you're speaking some kind of weird, different language.
Burn, Love Me Like a Reptile, the Motorhead song.
Oh, that's cool.
And We Are the Road Crew.
Nice. That's a pretty good set list.
Yeah. I want to hear some of this newer stuff, because he said the newest songs he did were kind of Motorhead style, like really fast.
Yeah.
So I'd be interested in that.
He said if that show went good, he'd consider bringing Newsted back. I hope he does.
Who?
Newsted.
Oh, well, I thought James bringing Newsted back. That would be good.
No, him bringing the band Newsted back.
So I guess Bobby Blotzer recently did an interview saying that Rat back in the day always crushed Motley Crue musically. And people ran with that quote, and now he's kind of backtracking and saying that it was blown out of proportion. Because he said, I think they got more press. They were associated with movie stars, explicit sex, murders, and shit. So they were always in the magazines. And he says, you know what? They deserve what they got. I don't think they'd want to go toe-to-toe with us, that's for sure. Although music, I mean, talent-wise, I think Rat was a more talented band than Motley Crue.
Well, I mean,
Tommy was the star of Motley Crue.
Yeah,
talent-wise.
Yeah, I mean, if you go, like, position...
Tommy killed
position,
Bobby Blossom.
Yeah, if you go position by position, drums, you got to give it to Motley Crue. Bass...
I'll take Juan over Nikki Six.
Yeah. Oh, man, they're both pretty good.
Double back stage in their prime. And all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Guitarist, it's 2-1 on between Rat. You got Robin Crosby and Warren DeMartini versus Mick Mars.
I'd take Warren over Mick as a player.
I don't know. Then Steven versus Vince in their prime. Who was a better singer?
Steven. Not by much, though. Neither of them were great singers.
Yeah, but they fit what they did.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's pretty close, I'd say. I mean, between those two bands and Quiet Riot, those guys got to be considered like the godfathers of the 80s hard rock movement. You know, that was the spearhead of it.
Yeah.
I don't know who I'd pick. I think overall, if I had to have one band over the other, discography versus discography, I got to go Motley Crue.
I'm thinking more on the Mick versus Warren argument, because obviously as a soloist, Warren's a much better player as far as ability goes. But who wrote more memorable riffs?
Mick Mars,
give it to Mick.
Yeah.
Well, Mick didn't really write the riffs. It was all coming, being driven from Nicky. But when you think about the tone of Mick Mars, it's distinctive. You knew that was Mick Mars. Better. When you listen to Rat, it was all kind of just a bass line. They had good songs, but Stephen Piercy didn't do vocal acrobatics. Vince Neil was hitting some off-key high notes, but at least he was going up and down, and this is where Stephen is just right in the middle.
Yeah, Stephen kind of had the same tone for every song.
Yeah.
There wasn't a difference.
Right.
Vince at least would try to go up and down the range. Yeah.
But as players, as you were saying, Aaron, Rat were better musicians, hands down. Minus Tommy Lee, and he's not even a technical drummer. He's just a great sounding drummer.
Yeah.
But the guitar players, Barry, Mick, with all due respect. All
right.
But like you said, who wrote more solos you could sing to in your head and you remember them? The Home Sweet Home solo, forget about it.
It's legendary.
It'll stick in your head.
Yeah.
But I can't name a memorable Rat solo, really, except Round and Round.
Yeah. Although, what's your favorite Rat riff?
Lay It Down is mine.
Lay It Down.
Yeah.
I think that's the best riff. Lack
of communication.
Best start to a song ever.
Yeah.
I like Lack of Communication, too, though.
Lack of Communication.
Yeah, that's got a hell of a hook to it.
A lot of Rat fans don't like Way Cool Jr., but I think that
I like that song.
I think
I
that
do
riff
too.
Is amazing.
Yeah, I like
and
Way
the solo
cool
on
Jr.
that song is amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember
that's a memorable solo from Warren. Way Cool Jr. I remember that one.
Yeah. Because it almost had the like bluesy kind of tinge
to
it.
I know you're not a power ballad guy, but
what's wrong with you?
Giving yourself away from Detonator. The solo on that song is beautiful, and it's a total blues solo.
It's a good song. I don't mind good ballads. There's just not a lot of them. Most of them are just cheesy. That's a good one.
We gotta do like the best power ballad episode too.
We could.
We have a dog snoozing.
Sadie just turned up her nose at our power ballads talk.
Skid Row has canceled the rest of their Australian tour dates because singer Eric Brunwell has persistent flu-like symptoms.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Scary for him because that guy just got cancer.
Right. Yeah, he's had a lot of health issues over the years to be able to pull it back together and even get that gig with Skid Row. Hope he's all right.
Trying to find some of these stories are like, why, who cares? Let's talk about Ghost, because we never talk about that band enough, do we, Mike?
No.
Oh boy, here we go.
Paul Di'Anno, original singer for Iron Maiden, has ripped Ghost for their cover of Phantom of the Opera by saying, quote unquote, it fucking sucks.
Paul Di'Anno's awesome.
That's what Billy Hardaway told me today. When I asked him to check it out, no, he wasn't even going to try to.
Yeah.
He was just like, no, it sucks.
I think it's kind of bland myself.
I haven't heard it yet, so I have no opinion.
Compared to the original, it's just, I don't know, it's the...
kind what of about We Don't Need Another Hero?
I haven't heard that yet either.
Yeah.
That's great.
That's, I don't know.
Like the Tina Turner?
Yes.
But here's what I expect.
John Thunderdome.
So, that's exactly what it is. But when I think of like a hard rock band, going to do a cover of an 80s pop song, you always find a way to make that pop song into a rock song.
Yeah.
You know, I just, when you sent me that, I sent you the cover from Tales from the Porn, the Stevie Rochelle album. Oh, they do a cover of the Kenny Loggins song Danger Zone, but it's rocked out.
Well, that's what I would. A good riff to start with.
Yeah, and then they just take it and put some cool guitar to it with an awesome tone. Now, it's awesome.
If you could make the Playing with the Boys Kenny Loggins song, if you could make that sound cool.
I don't know about that.
I don't know if that's possible.
Can't wait to see the video.
But even
take
a song.
Take your shirt off and play a volleyball band.
Iceman, Maverick.
Put that body butter on.
Oh, boy. But, no, the Ghost cover, even to that, you know, I thought, I mean, it's cool. It's a cool idea to take that song because that song does have potential to be a good heavy song. They just don't heavy it up enough for me. Why? They're Ghosts. They're a hard rock band, right? Why don't they rock that stuff a little more?
Are they poppier than they used to be?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I'll probably like them more now.
Prequel had is like mainly ABBA meets maybe something about hard rock ABBA.
Yes.
Let's just go there.
1000%.
Hard rock ABBA.
I heard some good Lady Gaga songs covered in a metal style.
Yeah.
It actually works.
Yeah.
She should really consider doing like a rock or a metal album. I bet it would be good.
If she did it the right way and decided, you know, I'm going to write a bunch of songs, I'm going to get some contributors, you know, any pop artist could really do that, but I can see that with her.
Oh,
but
well, while we're on that subject, I don't have it listed right here, but I just thought of it. You know, we were talking about the upcoming Dolly Parton. Well, they released the track list, and there's like 9 originals on it.
Right, yeah, I saw that.
And one of the originals has already been released.
Yep, I heard it.
What'd you think?
I don't know. I don't know what I...
Be honest.
I don't know what I... No, I didn't like it.
Everyone's like, Dolly's a treasure. It's amazing. I'm like, no,
no,
it's not.
It's not good.
It sounds like a country song. It does not sound like a rock and roll song to me.
I mean, it's got some parts in it that are, like, kind of rock. But, I mean, she's Dolly Parton. She doesn't know how to sing like a rock singer.
Well, it's got the
so whatever she does...
on it. And it's
Like,
which could be just as, like... Any Man on My by Shania Twain. Is that a rock song?
Yeah, it could be.
Leopard.
It could be in the right hands.
But like everyone, like, you know, Dolly rules. This is amazing. Like all over the end. I'm listening to it going, this is not that good.
No.
It's not even good at all.
Nope. I had hopes for that. I thought, how cool would it be if Dolly Parton came out with like one of the greatest rock albums of all time and it was so good that nobody could deny it.
Let's all be honest. Did anybody expect that?
Well, no, but that was kind of what I was hoping.
We all knew what she was going to do is being produced by some producer wanted to sound rock. Here, do this song with these special people, and then
let's do what we think will sell the best.
Right.
But it's
because at the end of the day, you still are you have to market yourself to your own fan base, which with Dolly Parton is huge.
But I just want, for once, I want to see an artist that on that level of fame and just be like, you know, I have enough money. I'm going to really try to do it the right way.
Yeah.
But no, she didn't.
I feel like you were also let down by Chris Gaines as well then.
Totally. I had super high hopes for that.
Me too. Do you guys remember Chris Gaines?
Yeah, I remember.
Garth Brooks, hard rock alter ego. I thought, well, this guy.
Garth Brooks doing a Babyface album. With a bad wig.
Yeah.
I remember watching that on swoop Saturday Night Live when he did it live. The fuck is this?
That was weird.
That was so weird. But that was the same thing, too, where, like, when that was announced, like, that was kind of going to happen.
Yeah.
I remember thinking, well, he loves Kiss. You know, he's always said what a big Kiss fan he is. This is going to be awesome. And then there ain't nothing awesome about it at all. Nobody ever talks about that no more either.
There was a rumor years ago that Garth Brooks loved Kiss so much that he owned the Dynasty stage and had it set up in a warehouse. I've never seen any evidence of it. But that was a rumor that I heard years ago.
Man, I wish you were that rich. You're like, what are you doing this weekend? We're going over Chris' warehouse. We're dressing up. We're playing Kiss.
Sit around.
Yeah. This warehouse has the Dynasty stage. This one has the Destroyer stage.
Yeah.
Here's the Creature's tank. Although Vinny owns that now, bro.
Yeah. He's up there somewhere.
Yeah. Here's a headline that you'll say next. Corey Taylor is ready to move on from his feud with Machine Gun Kelly.
Oh, thank God.
I can finally sleep.
Yeah, I had no idea that was still going on. Is that still going on?
Yeah, it was bothering me for a long time.
Really?
No.
Yeah?
I can't tell you. I'm sleeping better at night now just reading that. Yeah.
Filter has a new album coming out.
Prayers for Machine Gun Kelly.
Anybody care about Filter?
Filter?
No.
They had a song, Hey Man, Nice Shot.
Yeah.
It was a pretty cool song, but I never really heard too much else by him that really... Yeah.
Voivod has a new record coming out.
Yeah, I got them on the list. I haven't got the date on it yet, though.
It's called Morgoth Tales.
That sounds about right. Voivod.
UDO has a new album with Peter Baltus as an official member called Touchdown.
Yeah, they're selling it down at the record store up the street for $200.
Yeah.
We were at a record store. Was it Square Cat?
Yes.
In Indianapolis. And we went over there looking at records, and they got a UDO album in there, $200. Why? I don't know. I couldn't figure out what was so special about it. It was a newer one, I think.
They had several Accept albums, but every one of them was like $40 to $60.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
And no CDs, so I wasn't interested at all.
That's why you should go to Karma Records.
Yeah.
Those are much better stuff.
Yep, we went to Karma. I walked out with a fistful of CDs. Got some LPs out of there. Pretty cool place.
You're about to be the king.
The king?
Yeah.
Why?
We were just talking about it. That's coming back around.
I'm the king of CDs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to build a throne out of the jewel cases. The ones that are cracked and scratched.
Aaron's sitting on $1 million.
Yeah, I'll never sell it. My wife would be like, you need to sell it. We're going under. No! My preciouses.
You do another cutout bin episode.
Yeah? Oh, I got plenty of them. They got their whole own section.
Way overdue. Greta Van Fleet has released a new song. Anyone care about that?
Does it sound like Led Zeppelin song?
What do you think?
Yeah, it's Greta Van Fleet. I don't know. I don't mind it. But I look at it the same way I look at, like, Classic 78.
Yeah.
You know, I guess because those guys are young and hip, that they get a lot of good attention for it, but, I mean, they're really just paying tribute to a band that already was, writing new songs in the spirit of what if Zeppelin would have wrote this.
Right.
It's pretty good.
Doro has a new album called Conquer Us Forever Strong and Proud, and it will include a duet with Rob Halford.
Nice, nice. I like me some Doro.
That's kind of cool.
A warlock, heck yeah.
Brett Michael says you still got to take the music to the streets and out to the fans.
Next.
It doesn't Next. Really add.
Vetoed by the Mooger Fooger.
Jeez. Okay, Brett.
That translates to Party Gras tour tickets are not selling. Please
yeah.
come to the show.
Or we'll be out on the streets.
Yeah. Well, let's do your segment.
Okay.
Cover a lot of ground.
Let's see. What do we got? So... we're going to do the Camaro segment. I actually got my laptop here. These notes are very, very incomplete because we are on vacation. But we're going to give it our best shot anyway. So, let's start. You making a beer run?
Yeah.
You want to grab me one, please?
Yeah.
I wouldn't even edit none of this out. I just leave it raw and live as it is. Make it easy. All right. So... for the Camaro segment, we always like to look to the present, the past, and the future. And we do that with Rockstar birthdays, Rockstar death days, and thank you for that ice cold Coors Light right there. Hang on 1 second. What's that noise? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we both tribute to Ian Motley.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
That's
right. And the Kool-Aid beer.
Delicious. All right. So, let's start out with Rockstar birthdays. On the last one, we went up to May 30th, so we'll kick this one off with June 1st. Happy birthday to Ronnie Wood, longtime guitarist for the Rolling Stones. You guys fans of Ronnie Wood?
Yeah.
No? Don't get into that? Yeah, I like him.
I love the faces.
Yeah, the face is pretty cool. And a lot of his solo stuff is pretty good.
Is he
90? Like, yeah, he's an old man. He was born in 1947. Yeah.
Pretty old.
Anybody? If you're born in 1947, how old are you?
I'm not doing math.
Old.
Anybody?
76.
Okay, whatever. Nobody wants to do the math. I don't either. let's see. Happy birthday on the 6th. A longtime listener and friend of the show, Tom Cornell, good dude, always on the Geeks of the Week. Birthday on the 5th to Vane guitarist Dylana Scott. She was at Rockin' Pod. Pretty cool, man. Pretty cool. Nico McBrain from Iron Maiden, born way back in 1952 on June 5th. Tom Araya from Slayer, born in 61 on the 6th. Our awesome friend Kevin Williams from the In Obscuria podcast. Friends to us all, I know for sure. We all wish you a happy birthday, my friend. Mick Box, old timer, 47, was born, celebrating birthday on the 8th. Uriah Heep, longtime guitarist. But you guys love the Uriah Heep, don't you? No, a lot of heads shaking.
Great opening for Priest a couple of years ago.
They're a pretty good band, as far as like going back to the 70s.
I've never checked that out, really.
Yeah, pretty good. Paul Di'Anno sings on one of their albums.
Yeah.
The Abominable Gog or whatever.
And they don't like the crazy album cover song either.
Well, no,
they don't like that ghost cover
they
song
don't
either.
Care. Yeah, Uriah Heep hates ghosts. Everybody knows that. Happy birthday on the 8th to our awesome friend. Here's another one. Couldn't do Rockin' Pod without her, Tracy McAndrew.
Yeah.
Everybody's got to meet her over the years. The Rockin' Pod knows her, loves her. We all wish you a happy birthday, Tracy. You're awesome. Ladies, you want to wish Tracy a happy birthday?
Happy birthday, Tracy. Love you.
Awesome. And then finally, I just want to give a shout out to my friend Scott Morgan down at the Phonolux. Probably the best music store in Nashville. They got all kinds of cool stuff in there. Stop in and say hi to Scott anytime. They're open on the weekends. And, yeah, you'll thank me for sending you to Phonolux. Those are the birthdays. If I missed you, I'm so sorry. I know I did. I know I missed a bunch of people. All right, who did we leave off with last time? Because we looked to the present to wish everybody a happy birthday. Let's look to the past, to the people that we should remember this upcoming week and right about the time you're hearing this. On the, let's see, we ended with Bob Kulick, Mr. Baseball himself, last week. This week we'll remember on May 31st, passed away back in 2019, Rocky Erickson. Come on, somebody give me some Rocky Erickson love. Anybody? Mike?
Ghost.
Ghost covered him. Yeah, that one. All right, that one's a cool cover.
Yeah.
Ghost did good on that.
I don't know how that is.
Yeah, because that's all you think about is fucking Ghost. Let it go. They're not that great.
I don't think about fucking Ghost.
They're a little overrated. We're over here talking, he's just facing out going, man, I can't wait for that new Ghost album.
No.
Well, no.
Not the past.
You're thinking about how awesome it was to see Ugly Kid Joe.
That, yeah, I'm still ago. Have that right here.
It's freaking awesome. What do you got there?
Oh, you missed it, bro.
Mooger Fooger's got a Ghost LP.
I get to see. Look at this.
Artwork's cool.
No, that album is great. It's beautiful.
No, the artwork's awesome.
Is it blue?
I have no idea. I haven't opened it.
I haven't ordered one yet. No, it's gold. There you go, right there.
That's cool. Yeah, they make good-looking album covers, at least. All right. Let's see. Who do we else remember? Dee Dee Ramone passed away back in 2002 on the 5th of June. How did Dee Dee die?
Heroin overdose.
Really? Man, too old to be doing that shit. Robin Crosby, got to remember him, passed away way back in 2002 on the 6th. Just mentioned him earlier talking about Rat.
Yeah.
How cool was that guy back in the day? Robin Crosby was the coolest. And then at the end, things weren't so cool for him because he got the HIV.
Tragic.
Back in the day where you couldn't just take a pill and it went away.
Although he also died from a heroin overdose.
Yeah, but I think
he... A lot of people think he was just doing himself in, though.
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah.
I think so. Let's see. Brett Tuggle on the 19th passed away back in 2022.
Yeah.
And he played with David Lee Roth. Yeah. A bunch of other stuff, too. Hell of a player. Really? You know what? Not too many this time.
Good.
Not too many. I like that. So, there you go. Listen to some Rocky Erickson. I'm telling you, this guy was a hell of a guitar player. He wrote songs about ghosts and demons and aliens and sometimes all in the same song and Bloody Hammers in the Attic, one of my wife's personal favorites. And, yeah, good stuff. Rocky Erickson. Always got time for some Ramones, Rat. Man, you got to crank it up. Play some of that old David Lee Roth. Let's look at albums coming out. This is pretty incomplete too. There's some cool stuff coming out. On the 9th, you've got that awesome deluxe edition you were talking about with Alice Cooper coming out of Killer and School's Out.
Yeah.
Man, those sound pretty awesome. Got a bunch of extras.
Probably going to get the Killer one. I think I like that one better. I gotta get it. They've been releasing live tracks from a show in 72, and it sounds awesome. Mm-hmm.
How many Extreme fans we got with us today? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Everybody except Mike. Mike don't like Extreme.
Kind of. Not really.
They got their new album coming out on the 9th. It's entitled Six.
Yeah.
It sounded pretty good to me. Mm-hmm. I ain't got nothing against Extreme. I actually liked some of their, their first album was all right, but it was kind of poppy and seemed like it was trying to be what was popular. And I like Three Sides to Every Story. I think is a pretty great album. And what's the other one? Waiting for the Punchline?
Yeah.
I think that's pretty good too. But those were after their popularity. I don't know, you say their popularity waned, but theirs never really did. Because you think that those last albums didn't sell as good as the other ones, they still sold a lot up to the end. And it was really that Gary Cherone was leaving to join Van Halen was what ended Extreme. Otherwise, Extreme had no... They could have been one of those bands that survived through it all.
Yeah.
I think they were popular enough. But, you know...
Mooger Fooger, you got something to say?
No, I was waving at the dog.
Oh, I thought
that. It's hard to raise your hand, man.
It's hard to beat Extreme's Corner of Graffiti because, I mean, more than words, one... Yeah. Supersonic.
Yeah.
That's what sold that record. Yeah. The rest of the album's okay.
It's the only one I own.
Yeah.
That one.
And then Three Sides of Every Story was a beautiful record, but didn't really produce a hit.
Yeah.
And Waiting for the Punchline, I thought was amazing.
I don't know. We'll see. I think this one, from what I've heard so far, I think I'm going to pick it up. I think it's pretty good.
So where do you sit with Van Halen 3 and Gary Cherone, though? Like, is it a good Gary Cherone album?
It's not awful.
I think they pushed Gary Cherone too hard to sound like Sammy Hagar, and he's not a Sammy Hagar. He's far better a singer.
But the songs.
The writing on that record.
It was not cohesive. No. It was disjointed. And it sounded like it.
It sounded like an experiment, which is what it was.
Yeah, or, hey, we need to hurry up and put out an album like yesterday. Get a singer. I don't even care who. Get him in here, and let's just throw some shit together. Because that's what it sounds like to me. There's nothing.
There's like... Michael Anthony has even said that they weren't ever really in the studio together, and that was unlike Van Halen.
It was more of an 80s solo record.
Yeah.
And produced by Mike Post, who was known for producing NYPD Blue and TV shows.
What the hell?
Yeah, like music for TV shows. That was his thing.
That's so weird. I didn't
know. Why would you hire him to do a Van Halen record?
And that's the other thing my friend Anthony said. He was like, he couldn't get on board with the producer because he was asking different things that they've never been asked to do.
Yeah.
And I guess left a lot of Michael's bass parts on the cutting room floor.
I think Eddie played a lot on that record.
Yeah, it's not good.
And they decided it was a good idea for Eddie to sing a song. That's one of the worst things I've ever heard in the catalog.
And it's still one of the best songs on the album.
And they played it live when I saw them on that tour.
No.
This isn't good.
Yeah, I don't know. There's like two-ish good sort of songs.
There's some good song ideas, but they're not really songs.
Let's see. Extreme 6 on the 9th. Also on the 9th. You know about this? The Phil Lynott Grand Slam box set?
Yeah.
Six CDs? What's that all about?
I want to order it, but it's too damn expensive.
So what is Grand Slam? Is that a band he had after...
It was a project he was doing after Thin Lizzy before he died. And, it was him and a guy named Lawrence Archer, who was a guitarist from Europe, that we were writing stuff for it. Have you heard, now it's known as a Thin Lizzy song, but have you heard the song Dedication?
Yeah.
That was written for Grand Slam.
Okay.
And it was demoed, and what you hear that's put out as Thin Lizzy is they took the Grand Slam demos, isolated Phil's vocals, and then Scott Gorham and Brian Downey came in and recorded the parts.
Played the song, yeah.
But it's really a Grand Slam song. Huh. And there's a song called 19 that sounds just like Lizzy. It was a good project, but that box set is a ton of those demos and a lot of live stuff, because they went out and would play festival shows, but they never fully put out a released record.
Hmm.
But yeah.
So what he passed away before they could?
Yeah, he did. Yeah. And then Lawrence Archer put out, he put the band back together like a year ago and released a record with some of that material.
Oh, that's cool. Like different players.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Here's another one. The Atlantic Years box set from Rack, 5 vinyl, plus a whole bunch more stuff.
But you don't get the EP. So
no.
Why put it out?
Yeah, you should definitely get the EP.
And that record company bought the rights to that EP like 2 years ago.
I wonder
so
if they're
no
planning on doing
it.
Was the EP on Atlantic?
It wasn't originally.
Right.
But Atlantic bought the rights to it 2 years ago. Yeah. So they have every right to release it. So it's kind of a point.
That's
of
a shame.
Yeah, because I mean, even for my CD collection, I have every Rat CD, every studio album, except for the first EP.
But I don't think there's even bonus material on this. I think it's just the records.
It's just the records.
So if you want to buy repackaged shit you already own,
I already own.
Go for it.
If you've never heard of Rat before, this sounds pretty cool. You might want to give this band a try. Their 5 vinyl box set might be the place to start.
Motley Crue did the same thing like a year ago.
And that's really about it. That's all I got for my segment. So like I said, you know, wholly unprepared, but, you know, we're here nonetheless. We're excited. We're about to go talk to Kid Joe here in a little bit.
Yeah, I have. I have a public service I need to do. Chad Kroger says that there's been a, quote, softening in hate for Nickelback. It's really nice to not be public enemy number one. To that I say, fuck Nickelback.
Oh, come on.
Next door.
No. No, because you have even said yourself that your hate has softened towards Nickelback.
It never even was that much hate. It was just a joke.
Oh, see? No.
Hey, they're no Juice Newton.
Well, yeah, it's just the other thing.
Well, that's a given. I mean, I'll agree with that.
I completely blown out of proportion from one fucking episode.
It's like when you asked the AI what Decibel Geek was, I'm surprised it didn't say. Chris Sinzak is known mainly for loving Juice Newton and hating Nickelback.
Head of the Juice Newton fan club, Chris Sinzak, post-Decibel.
And leader of the Nickelback.
You know, I looked up just you on there once, to, like describe Aaron.
Yeah, you told me it was like I was a video game guy.
That,
right?
But it also said Aaron Camaro is the founder and operator of the Rock and Pod Expo. I'm like, wow.
Yeah. No, but it said he was, what were you?
It said that I was a bankruptcy attorney. For
yeah.
I was like, huh?
So it starts talking about, you know, Chris Sinzak is Decibel Geek Podcast, founder of the Rocket Pod Expo. He's also known as, was it a business?
A bankruptcy attorney. Helping people through their bankruptcies.
And is known to have helped many people, you know, and he's reading this. I mean, I'm just laughing, you know, that's funny because it's, you know, on point for a second and then it goes way off.
Yeah.
So then he puts in mine and it does the same thing. You know, basically clones our things. And then when it gets to, like, my part, then it was
a voiceover
actor who's appeared on and it lists like different video games.
Yeah, like Disney movies and shit, and video games and all kinds of stuff.
AI is weird, man.
Yeah.
They ain't got their shit together. They're still infants. Wait till they're full grown adults. Then we'll fear them.
Incredibly unreliable.
Skynet. Man.
Yeah, Skynet's coming.
Vince Neil is going to perform at the 3rd annual Big Machine Music City Grand Prix.
Yes. Oh yeah.
Oh,
in
you guys go to that.
No, he ain't going. This time he ain't going because Vince Neil's going to be there performing. No, I'd go. What the hell? Why not?
I'm trying to find some.
He was fun that time we seen him live, but he took a big break in the middle of the set, disappeared for a while.
He was terrible, dude. That was at Farm Rock.
That's right.
You getting excited? That's besides the point there.
Audio only unveiling.
Wow,
it's already a gold record.
Looks better than a sound.
No, man.
This is an audio unveiling of the new Ghost album.
Yeah, an audio unboxing of
audio unboxing. Well, it's square.
It's square and
we
flat.
Opened it.
And the thing
and
inside
square came out
flat
of it.
That's made out of paper,
and
inside that there's
a
circle. It's made out of vinyl.
That's amazing. It's beautiful.
He is cool looking. Reminds me of like an Iron Maiden cover, kind of. It's sort of like Power Slave a little bit.
Trying to find one more story to wrap things up. There's really nothing that interesting otherwise, so I think we'll just wrap it up there.
Okay. Anybody else got anything? Anything to add? We were just up watching Ugly Kid Joe soundcheck. That was fucking awesome. We were singing along to VIP. They would get to the part, and then we'd jump up and yell VIP, and they were like, "That's cool."
Oh, so you got to go actually stand in front of them and see?
No, we were behind a fence.
Like stalkers.
Yeah, yeah, we were out there. There was a couple other. We weren't the only ones. There was a couple other kids over there with Ugly Kid Joe T-shirts on.
Well, I'm just hoping when we get over there in an hour and a half, they don't say you're not on the list. I mean, I was assured we are.
Yeah.
But we'll see what happens when we get over there. It's always a crapshoot when you interview bands. So.
Yeah. Oh man.
We'll see how it goes. But.
Ugly Kid Joe will be pissed. They'll be like, "Where the hell is Decibel Geek? They were supposed to be here."
Yeah, but yeah, we're looking forward to that. Sorry, this is not like the most professional episode ever, but
still fun.
Gives you something to listen to.
Yeah, and
kind of a fly on the wall thing here.
Heck yeah, gotta love this old Zoom. It does what it's supposed to do. So there you have it. Now you're up to date on everything in the world of hard rock and heavy metal. Just take the time to share it, retweet it, and give us some love. Follow us on Facebook. Got to give some love to Pantheon Podcast, man. They always got our backs. You know, they bring this show to you for free. They make it easy for us to bring you the best that we can bring you. So we always thank Pantheon for that. Least you can give them is a follow on Facebook or check them out on the Twitter, whatever. Keep up with Pantheon because they got a bunch of great podcasts over there that you could discover. Other than that, yeah, hopefully the next episode is our interview with Ugly Kid Joe. And then probably our afterthoughts of the show afterwards, maybe tacked on to the end, I thought would be pretty cool. So, yeah, we got to get out of here. We got a lot of rocking to do tonight, and so we shall return. This has been GeekWire. We'll see you next time.
See ya.
Peace. About to explode.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more Fantasy Points.